Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
Hi, this is Jose Bautista, and you're listening to Blue Jays baseball on the Blue Jays Radio Network.
Base is loaded. The pitch lined to left field. That's a base hit. Thames has it. One run in. Here's Eric's throw. It comes to the plate not in time. A second run scores in Matt Joyce. Stopping at second base is Pena. And the Rays go out in front 4-1 as Scott delivers the goods again, this time right here in Canada.
That was a big two-run single by Luke Scott. It came with two out in the top of the fifth inning and made the score 4-1 Tampa. Sean Rodriguez would follow with a two-run double to make it 6-1. Five of those six fifth-inning runs unearned because of the error charged to Adam Lind. Matt Joyce hit the ball hard. Lind to his right went off his glove, and the Jays still had a chance as it deflected to Kelly Johnson, who threw to first, but not in time. And Brandon Morrow, as he argued with first base umpire Bill Miller about the call, saw Ben Zobrist score all the way from second. He probably would have scored anyway, even if Morrow had turned around right away and thrown home. Would have been tough to get him, but sure doesn't look good when you're arguing as a run scored. Then the strikeout of Carlos Pena, but a wild pitch allows him to reach, followed by that hit by Scott and the double by Rodriguez. And I wonder if seeing that run score might have unnerved Brandon Morrow a little bit, but then he struck out the next hitter. So it's tough to say. It would seem that he didn't, because that strikeout should have ended the inning, if not for the wild pitch. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance one, 888-666-0590. Certainly not the way the Blue Jays wanted to open up a key homestand. They've got one more with the Rays tomorrow, two with the Yankees, and then the Mets come in for three. It should be said that most teams, after long road trips, lose the first game. So it's kind of nice to get this one out of the way. It would have been nicer if it wasn't as particularly ugly as it was. Going to let you vent on the Blue Jays talk to the top of the hour. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Randy is in the GUE, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Randy, you're on the Blue Jays talk. Vent away.
Oh, hi, Mike. I called a couple of weeks ago, and I think I said to you after they'd lost three or four in a row to Baltimore, I don't think they'll beat a team in the East this year. And what I've seen the last 2 weeks, I don't see any reason to change my mind. I don't really blame the team. I think there's just been a lot of Kool-Aid spun out there by the media and Blue Jay management, whatever you want to call it. They're not that good of a team. I think they're sub 500 team. And, you know, the way they played that last 2 weeks, I think they've shown that. And I think you watch what? The next three games, I think they may win one of the next
three
games.
Okay, hold on, Randy, hold on. Before you start to get all doom and gloom, right, and everything is horrible.
Well, I said that 2 weeks ago. So it's not,
okay,
not
you said it 2 weeks
gloom,
ago. Right, and then they went and they won six out of the next seven games after you said that. And two of the three were against the Texas Rangers, who have the best record in the league.
Without Josh Hamilton.
Without Josh Hamilton.
I mean, don't spit, Mike. You, I respect the job you do.
Okay,
you drink the Kool-Aid. I mean,
there's no Kool-Aid. What's the Kool-Aid?
I mean, the Blue Jay Kool-Aid. I mean,
what's the Blue Jay Kool-Aid?
Well,
tell me when anyone with the Blue Jays or anyone on this program has ever said, you should expect the Blue Jays to make the playoffs this year.
Well, Paul Beeston has talked about three of the next 5 years.
He expects the Blue Jays to be in the playoffs. That's not the question I asked you. Answer the question. Who told you to expect the Blue Jays to be in the playoffs this year?
Since the start of the season,
yes,
you've been talking about at this rate we'll win 95 games, then it was down to 92 games, then it was down 87 games.
And yesterday it was 88, and today it's less than that, and that is true. Those are facts.
I don't see it. I mean, I just don't see this. I mean, wasn't there a Sports Illustrated article that came out last week that rated them way down?
I haven't read Sports Illustrated in a long time.
It was an article that had a bunch of stats or something and rated them way down, like out of 30 teams that rated him at 25th. I think it was rated him 25th of 30 teams.
Yeah, there's some power rankings. That was like a month ago while they were playing the Royals. And they were ranked 22nd, and the Royals were ranked 7th, and the Jays won 4 in a row from the Royals. So it shows you what that means. Look, I think that there's a little bit of a disconnect here. When I say that the Blue Jays are on pace to win 95 games, what I mean is that if they continue to win at the current rate at which they are winning, they will win 95 games, which was true, like, I don't know, a week ago. I don't mean I think the Blue Jays are going to win 95 games.
Well, I just find that...
But I don't think there's any reason to believe that this team is a sub-500 team. They haven't been under 500 at any point this season.
I honestly do not believe, and I respect, I'm not questioning you personally or anything like that. I mean, you know, you do a great job and all that. But I really believe that it's not only you, it's the media in general. I mean, I just don't see where this team, you know, I honestly believe they will not beat it. Who are they going to beat in the East? Seriously.
Baltimore.
Sorry, they will not beat Baltimore in the East. Baltimore is a much better club than the
Blue absolutely Jays. Will be. See, this is what happens.
Boston will go by them the next month.
Right. This is what happens when you only look at what goes on over the course of the first 6 weeks. And for you, it's not only looking at what's gone on over the course of the first 6 weeks. It's what's looking at what's gone on over the last 4 days.
No, it's not. I watch a lot of baseball. I watch the Yankees. I watch a lot of baseball on TV.
There's no earthly reason to believe that the Baltimore Orioles will wind up with a better record than the Blue Jays. And if you do believe, if you're one of those people who believes that the Orioles will wind up with a better record than the Blue Jays, then there's no earthly reason to believe that the Red Sox will wind up with a better record than the Blue Jays. You can't have it both ways.
I believe the Blue Jays will not believe. I watch a lot of baseball.
Okay.
I believe the Jays have got a hole at first base. They've got a hole in left field. They've got holes all over the place.
Not as many holes as Baltimore has.
Baltimore's got a better club. Their pitching is a lot better this year, and their hitting is a lot better than the Jays.
Baltimore, no.
Their hitting will hold up the rest of the year.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Randy, I appreciate your opinion. I appreciate it, and I thank you for the call. We got a lot more calls to get to. But you can't have it both ways like that. You can't buy a hot start of a team that's not very good and not buy a bad start of a team that is good. It's Mike is in Kitchener, I assume, listening on 570 News. Welcome to the Jays Talk. Mike, vent away.
No venting, really. I think it's one of those losses you kind of turn the page with.
Sure.
I would rather have seen them lost this way than to have another leadoff walk come around.
Yeah, the walks kind of have sucked lately, haven't they?
They have.
Six more tonight.
Tough one. Just an observation regarding Brent Laurie.
Sure.
Because we're now approaching 140 at-bats. Excellent batting average, and there's no question the intensity, the better performance overall defensively. I guess the concerns are with the extra base hits.
And the walks.
8 extra base hits at 140 at-bats.
Yeah, 8 extra base hits and 139 at-bats, 7 walks and 23 strikeouts.
That's pretty tough.
Well, he's 22 years old.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's fair, and I said this going into the season, I don't think it's fair to think that he'll post similar numbers to what he did last year.
Right.
You know, it's a process. It takes a long time.
And the pitchers adjust, the teams adjust.
Yeah, and he'll adjust back, and he's done a great job to keep that batting average, or to get that batting average up into the 290s right now.
Yeah.
But the power will come. I think the extra base hits will come.
Yeah.
And I still do believe he will set this team's triples record one of these years.
I don't dispute that either. He may set the record for outfield assists being thrown out at third, too. But that's a good problem to have.
That's the first 5-1 I've ever... I don't think he's going to get thrown out at third much. The guy can fly.
Oh, and, no question.
You know, we haven't seen him be... He doesn't have that Tony Fernandez streak in him where he's trying to stretch all kinds of doubles into triples or anything like that.
I guess the other glaring weakness, too, is it's tough to see Thames. I know we're trying to do the lefty-righty thing. I just can't rationalize keeping him that high in the lineup just with that kind of productivity.
Well, you don't want to stack your...
To hear the Bobcats word, you know, he is just a guy.
Well...
He's never going to be an everyday player.
But I mean, that's... Who can say... Who knows that? certainly nobody knows that, and you can't know until you give them the opportunity to try.
Yeah, but I don't think there's enough power there with the minor leagues to take up a corner outfield position.
He never had a healthy season outfield. In the minor leagues, though.
What's that?
He never had a healthy season over the minor in the minor leagues.
Yeah, but we have that guy. You know, between Francisco and Rajay Davis, obviously, with more speed.
Davis can't hit righties. And Francisco's shown over the course of his career to this point that he's just a guy.
Absolutely.
Thames is 24.
Yeah.
And Thames has defied expectations at every level he's been at. And I'm certainly not ready to close a book on him by any means yet, or to even label him.
Yeah, I guess I'm just one of those guy. People, like the many that want to see Snyder out there. And I know what he's done, and he's been the sub-220 hitter, but...
He's not going to be here for a while. The Blue Jays seem as though they are very, 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 very stuck on giving him a long time at AAA this year.
Yeah.
And who's to say plugging in Travis in the fifth spot in the lineup or sixth spot in the lineup would do any better? Thames had a hit and a walk tonight, which is a heck of a lot more than most of his teammates did.
Yeah, and the old thing with Snyder has always been, you know, he goes through streaks where he's so unbelievably hot and so unbelievably cold.
But again, he's 23.
Yeah.
Right? So patience. I know it's no fun. But patience. Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Appreciate the call. Let's go out to Davidson, Saskatchewan, listening on sportsnet590.ca. Morgan, you're on the Blue Jays talk. Vent away.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling.
Just want to see if you agree with me here in thinking that the Blue Jays being still, I think, two games over 500 is the product of luck, or what it might be. Just looking at our fourth in runs, in spite of being, I'm not sure what our batting average is, but it's below the halfway point in the American
League. Oh, well below.
Yeah.
Well below.
Also, we've got pitchers that are giving up a ton of walks.
Lately.
Last road trip, anyways.
Yeah.
And our batting average for balls in play is surprisingly low, which is usually just means it's hard to keep up. So would you agree that the Jays being over 500 right now is kind of the product of luck?
Only to the extent that hitting with runners in scoring position is kind of luck-driven. I think the Blue Jays have been unlucky in the bullpen and the seven blown saves and, you know, in the first, 33 games of the season. That's unlucky. I think that the Blue Jays, that they're hitting 302 with runners in scoring position going into this game is a little lucky, obviously.
Kind of lucky, yeah.
But I think the starting pitching has been very good.
Pitching is sustainable?
I don't know if the starting pitching is sustainable, but I don't think the poor offense is sustainable. I think that the hitters are better than what they've done.
The bright side is our hitting is more than likely going to pick up.
Correct.
We're not batting where we could be.
The bullpen is more than likely going to pick up.
Yeah, we're probably not going to give up quite so many home runs.
Right.
Starting, relief.
And the bad part is that the starting pitching may start to come back down to earth as it has lately, and the batting average with runners in scoring position is probably going to drop. But the overall batting average and on-base percentage and slugging percentage is likely to go up, so that should take care of that.
I think
they're about where they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough to envision this team really going to end up any better than they were last year. Maybe a few
games. No, it's not. I don't see why that would be tough at all.
Well, I mean, 2-3 games better than they were last year, but...
Five, six, seven years better than last year.
What's that?
5, 6, or 7 games better than they were last year, which is probably still not good enough to make the playoffs.
No, it's not.
But I don't know why that's difficult to envision.
Oh, I don't think 3 or 4 games better than last year is hard to imagine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's just, I mean, things are looking up for a while, and now it's like, we've got, we're 35 games in or so. Just seems like we're kind of where we'll be next year, kind of by the end of the year-ish.
So. I don't know what that means, but I think that you're taking the last few days a little too hard. And that's completely normal. I appreciate the call, Morgan. I do. I want to sneak in one more before we get to John Farrell. Derek is in Keswick listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Derek, vent away on the Blue Jays talk.
It's not like, again, it's like the other caller said, it's not so much venting. They said it 2 weeks ago. They want the Jays to win 15 games a month, and we're at, what, the 10th of the month, and we're still, or almost 15th, sorry? And
14th
we're still
of the
well
month.
On track to do that.
Yeah, they're 7-6 this month.
We're still on well track to do that. And another thing, my biggest pet peeve with Toronto fans, I've been a Toronto fan all my life. My biggest pet peeve is these teams, they win, the Jays, the Leafs, they win, everybody's happy. As soon as they lose, everybody jumps on the losing bandwagon and disowns them completely, just like the media. And it's the biggest pet peeve I have with Toronto fans.
That's not unfair, but I don't know that that's unique to Toronto by any means.
True. And my other comment was, I know you said not to talk about Lind, but you said we have to find what the problems were with the Jays.
Oh, no. I just said don't tell me they should release Lind.
I don't think we should release him at all. We just got to figure out what's wrong with the guy. He's in a major slump in every position he's in. Between batting, everywhere he is, he's having issues, and we've got to figure out what the heck's wrong with him and do something with him.
100%, Derek. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. You're right. They got to fix Adam Lind if they're going to keep running him out there every day. We're going to hear from the manager as we continue, but right now we will step away for a second. John Farrell's next. It's the Blue Jays Talk on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Welcome back to Rogers Center. Blue Jays fall 7-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays. Let's listen in on John Farrell and his postgame comments.
On a night when we couldn't get much started offensively, the two extra outs in the fifth inning loomed large. The two base hits following the strike three that got away from JP, and then the ground ball to the right side followed up by Scott's base hit to left, and then Rodriguez double into right center field. You know, gives them ability to put six on the board, and the way things were going tonight, that was going to be a little bit too much to overcome. I thought we continued to compete. They threw the ball well. They threw strikes. They made quality pitches when needed, and we couldn't really bunch too much together here offensively tonight.
John, another start for Brandon where he walks four guys. I mean, base on balls really seems to be something that the whole pitching staff is dealing with right now. Is there anything that you can pinpoint as to why the command for seemingly everybody is kind of out of whack?
Yeah, we've issued far too many walks. Coming off the last series in which we issued 25 over the 4 days in Minnesota, followed up by tonight where I didn't think Brandon had his power to his stuff as he typically has had, particularly over this last four-start stretch for him, where not only has he been powerful, he's also had very good command. And when you issue that many walks, you know, we're creating issues for ourselves to have to battle through and pitch around. So particularly on a night when, you know, you put one up on the board offensively, those are going to contribute to a tough night.
You mentioned the extra outs, Sean. Do you think Brandon was a bit rattled by the play at first base, or just based on his reaction, he thought he got Joyce at first base there?
I wouldn't say he was rattled. I think anytime you're looking at a five-out inning, you're going to have an extended inning in terms of pitch count. And, you know, you get into that 25th, 27th pitch in the inning, just naturally you're not going to have as sharp a stuff inside of one given inning. And then two pitches up, you know, to Scott and to Rodriguez that followed. I can't say that he was rattled by it. The inning got extended, and we allowed extra base runners in that spot.
John, collectively on offense yesterday, today, do you like the approach that you're seeing from the guys right now?
Well, we're going to attack early in the count when pitches are on the plate. I thought we've got into a number of hitters' counts over the last couple of days, and yet, you know, when we get pitches on the plate, as we've done previously or in a recent stretch where we've been able to square some of those up, you know, even yesterday, if you're alluding to the recent stretch, I thought we hit a number of balls hard. Tonight, not so much the case, and that's going to happen on a given night. But, you know, on a night when you're down a little bit offensively, that's where the pitching and defense has got to pick some things up, and that wasn't the case tonight.
There's John Farrell. He's right. That wasn't the case tonight. The Blue Jays lose the first game after a 10-game road trip, which is not unusual. It just kind of sucked the way they lost it. The results are in on Jeff Niemann, by the way, and turns out the Rays starting pitcher has a small fracture in his right fibula. So Adam Lind broke him, and Niemann is going to miss the rest of the season. Don't you miss tomorrow, though, as this series wraps up. It'll be Henderson Alvarez against David Price. We'll be on at 7 o'clock for a 7:07 first pitch. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Gord Brunt, and Dylan Brown, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night.